You and I back together again on a midweek Wednesday, June 9th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. We had the pleasure in the 3 o'clock hour of speaking to Dan Glickman, former Agriculture Secretary under President Bill Clinton. He also dabbled in the movie business and was a 9-term congressman from Kansas. He has a great new book out talking about his years in government and reflections on everything he's done. And we also kept you up to date in the ongoing battle, which turned a little nasty on this June 9th, over legalizing recreational marijuana in Connecticut. And I had some thoughts to kick off the program on a key point that some Republicans are bringing up, illustrating how bills like this one particularly concerning marijuana, get people a little nervous. We will update you all day as my sources are texting me and calling me all the time here on the breaks as to what's going on with legal marijuana in the state. It's not here yet. And apparently, it's probably going to happen. But it looks like and a lot of people will be really ticked off at this and angry, and a lot of people will be raising cheers about this. But it certainly seems like the House GOP in the state here, they're not going to roll over on this one. And, they're upset with the way things are shaking down, and they're pointing to the House leadership on the Republican side, Vin Candelora and his deputy leaders there. They're pointing to a little bit of, what's being termed a little backhanded chicanery, maybe, although he denies it or he said he's going to explain it at a later time. There may have been a little chicanery here by one Democratic member of the state Senate. I'm shocked. Aren't you? Really? In blue Connecticut, there might be a Democratic member of the House or Senate who may have put something a little creepy in this bill. What are we talking about? Well, this version here in the Connecticut News Junkie by Hugh McQuaid. Now, get this, folks. I want you to listen to this. Because, again, the reason I refer to these articles so much and the reason I delve into this stuff so much is because a lot of you folks listening to me, it's pretty easy sometime to know what goes on in your city or in your town, even in big cities like Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, Waterbury, Norwalk, Stamford, whatever. People know people and you can talk and you kind of know who's doing what, right? You kind of sort of know, like, who the dirtbags are, who the slime balls are, and who the up-and-up people are. But sometimes stuff happens at the state level. You see a bill passed, and then I don't care whether it's marijuana or taxes or something to do with DMV. And then a month later on shows like this show here we do at my station or other shows around the state, you know, the hosts in the state, we effort to give you the information you need. And you say, well, wait a minute. I'm not in favor of that. Well, apparently some of the people you voted for were. What am I talking about? Well, luckily, this was spotted by Republicans and, in fact, spotted by the governor's office, to their credit, and the office of Governor Ned Lamont. And Republicans got together and said, no, this has to come out of the bill. What am I talking about? Well, House Minority Leader Vin Candelora, according to the Connecticut News Junkie. Now, listen up. This gets a little complicated, but I'll tell you what we're talking about here. It looks like, although we're going to do benefit of the doubt here, I'm just telling you what's been reported here. It looks like there was a little bit of purposeful favoritism being introduced in the marijuana bill. Candelora said the bill had been tarnished by backroom negotiations by Democrats, which led to the inclusion of a provision, now get this, that seemed designed to benefit a single individual. What might that be? The Senate removed that provision through an amendment on Monday, but Candelora said its initial inclusion was evidence that the entire bill needed greater scrutiny. And that's, I agree with Vin, and we're trying to haul down Vin, see if he can drop in here on the show a little bit later on. But again, this bill, folks, is 300 pages, okay? The sentence, recreational marijuana will be legal in Connecticut for those 21 and older starting on XXX date. That's one sentence. That's one sentence out of 300 pages. And face it, people, you know, we don't know what's in this bill. We don't know. We don't know. Okay? Candelora said, when the light was shined, the cockroaches scurried. We need to reset the clock on this piece of legislation. Now, what are we talking about here, the raise the alarm bill? You're probably saying, all right, Paul, what gives here? The provision, now follow along here, kids, at 2:14, we'll do traffic and weather together in a moment here. The provision would have allowed a former backer of a medical cannabis producer to apply for a cultivator's license without participating in the bill's lottery system to ensure fair access to all licenses. It was requested by Democratic State Senator Doug McCrory of Hartford, who declined on Tuesday, according to the Connecticut News Junkie, to discuss that aspect of the bill, why he put that in there. McCrory said, quote, I'll talk about it and what the intentions were once the bill passes, but not today. During an afternoon news conference on Tuesday, yesterday, probably while we were on the air, Governor Ned Lamont agreed the provision should not have been in the bill. But he said the problem had been solved already. Well, yeah, because they probably saw it on you know, when the state Senate was looking at this and going, what in the hell is this? Get it out of there. Good on the governor. Lamont said if we hadn't caught it, that wouldn't have been good. We caught it, got it out of there. It's a good bill. Vote for it. There you go. So even the governor, right? And again, folks, this is what I mean. Please understand this. This is what I mean. Garbage is put in these bills for favoritism, this and the other, that apparently not even the governor knew about. And kudos to him again, to Governor Ned Lamont, who came out and said, yeah, that was good. We didn't like it. It's gone. Vote for the bill. So he still has an angle to vote on the bill here. I get it. But again, this is why people are cynical. I've had former members of the General Assembly who I'm friends with on Facebook, on social media, tell me, and I kind of knew this, but, you know, they're sending me messages, they're commenting on my posts saying, be wary of what's hidden in there. So there you go. So there it is, kids. Thankfully, the governor's office and thankfully the state Republican Party started to blow the whistle on this and the Senate took it out. Why was it there in the first place? Now, you know, we haven't heard from Senator McCrory. I'm going to be interested to see why that got in there. And there's other speculation in other outlets. That speculation is that, well, this was going to be a little back channel deal or whatever. You know how this stuff works. But listen, I'm giving Senator McCrory the benefit of the doubt here. So it's going to be interesting to see and or hear what his explanation is. All right. I tell you, I love guests who have resumes far better than mine. And listen to this one. A former VP of the Aspen Institute, senior fellow with the Bipartisan Policy Center, board member for the World Food Program, also 9-term U.S. Congressman from the 4th District in Kansas, Secretary of Agriculture, 1995 to 2001, chair of the Motion Picture Association of America, 2004 to 2010. Dan Glickman is joining us. Dan, Paul here at WICC. How are you, sir?
Paul, every time I hear an introduction like that, I'm thinking, boy, I can't hold a job very long. But but thanks for talking about me anyway.
I got to tell you, can I ask you something, Mr. Secretary or Congressman? I don't know what you prefer, what do people ask the most about when they look at your resume or they see you in a social situation or say, hey, there's Dan Glickman? What area are they most fascinated with?
Well, ironically, I think the glamour of the movies is always the question. I was not head of the Motion Picture Association, I was mostly representing Hollywood in Congress on issues like trade and tax and censorship. But I think that usually, I think most people think that I cavorted with stars. So that usually gets a lot of attention. But today, I think most people talk to me about Congress and what it's like now and what it was like back when I served and why is the atmosphere so toxic and what we can do to make things better. That seems to be the top of the discussion.
And the name of the book is Laughing at Myself, My Education in Congress, on the Farm, and at the Movies. Your upbringing, Dan, humble from what I understand, and from Middle America. Talk about that.
Well, I'm from Kansas. My grandparents immigrated, around the turn of the last century from Eastern Europe and somehow ended up in Wichita, Kansas, and started with nothing, like a lot of immigrants do, but were persevered and went into the scrap iron business and the oil business. And my dad bought a AAA baseball team, which we operated for about 15 years. We were affiliated mostly with the Chicago Cubs. And one of the things I talk about in my book is that I learned from them that a good sense of humor, especially self-deprecating humor, was a real strong ingredient to be successful and get things done. And so I argue in my book that we are missing that in our society today. We've almost become a humorless society where we spend most of our time taking aim and arrows at each other. So that's kind of the theme.
Dan, yeah, let's take a quick break and talk about that because, boy, I agree with you 100% on that. Former Secretary of Agriculture, multi-term member of Congress representing District 4 in Kansas, Dan Glickman is the guest. New book, Laughing at Myself, My Education in Congress, on the Farm, and at the Movies. Back with more from Mr. Glickman straight ahead. First, though, traffic and weather together right back on WICC. Back to open phones later on. We'll update you on the marijuana situation, all of that and more. But right now, talking about politics, Congress, and a very varied and fascinating career of our guest, Dan Glickman. If the name rings a bell, it should. He served for 18 years, 9 terms, U.S. House, a Democrat representing Kansas District 4, also Agriculture Secretary, 1995 to 2001, Chair of the Motion Picture Association of America for 6 years. The book, once again, Laughing at Myself, My Education in Congress, on the Farm, and at the Movies. You know, Dan, I read a lot of congressional history, politics. It fascinates me to no end. But I read about stuff 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, Dan, and it seems that, yeah, there were policy differences back then and folks were passionate, but I don't detect the anger back then that I detect today. Am I wrong or right about that?
I think you're partially right. You know, we can look nostalgically back at the way things used to be. And there was plenty of controversy 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. You didn't have social media. You didn't have instantaneity of information. You had 3 television networks, not 60. And we didn't have podcasts and all that stuff. So information gets to people faster. And often people listen to the kind of information that agrees with them, which is often bitter towards people who don't agree with them. And I think that's part of it. I think the amount of money in politics dwarfs what we used to spend. So I think there are other factors, cultural factors at play, because my observation is the members of Congress, by and large, are just as good and smart as they ever were. But these outside factors make governing much more difficult.
If the outside factors, Dan, weren't there and the money, if it was just 100 people in a room in the Senate or 435 where you were in the House, would a lot of more things get better if that pressure wasn't there or not?
I'd like to think it would get a little bit better. But, you know, look, the Pogo, the comic strip says we have met the enemy and he is us. So I don't think you can blame the legislative branch for everything. I mean, part of this is coming from the people. They don't trust their government really anymore. Part of this is justified. We've had a lot of leaders in our country that haven't exemplified good character. And I'm going to take a little partisan tone here. I think the 4 years of the Trump administration were not years of the best character in the world. And I had great relationships with other Republican presidents like George W. Bush and his dad. Mm-hmm. So it's not a question of being partisan, but character and leadership are things that are really required in this changing world. And that's where I go back to self-deprecating humor. When you look at the great or impactful presidents we've had, they've been people like Lincoln, FDR, Kennedy, and Reagan. And these were all people who used humor as a way to help lead, to help people go in the direction they wanted them to. And that's been missing in the last 20 or 30 years. And I'm not blaming it all on our presidents, because Congress and the private sector certainly have a role to play in all of that.
You're right, because I go back and look on YouTube. Thank God it's there. And you're right, Dan, JFK, of course, obviously no video around when Lincoln was, but Reagan and some of these presidents, I think, and you've probably done just numerous, I mean, probably hundreds of appearances speaking to people. And when I worked on campaigns, I would always tell my candidates I work with, you know, make them laugh, cut a joke, come up with something, look at the day, what's going on during the day, because then it really does relax people and you can really then get your message across, correct?
I absolutely agree, but I think what's happened is that because of social media, YouTube, Facebook, and the rest, anything you say that's the least bit off center will be on the record for generations to come. So I think it's made people nervous about opening up and being themselves. And I'm not saying that people should engage in bitter, politically incorrect humor that puts people down. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm afraid that people are afraid to open up and kind of be authentic and show themselves because they're afraid that they might offend somebody and it'll last forever and it'll get them diselected in the next election.
I've always wondered, Dan, what's it like being a cabinet secretary? You were Secretary of Agriculture 1995 to 2001 in the Clinton White House. What is it like? I mean, you get the call, obviously. You're approached. You take it or you don't, whatever. What is that job like?
Well, it's as much a management job. I had 100,000 people that worked for me. You come in and, you know, I knew a little bit about farm issues because I was from Kansas and knew about cattle and wheat and other commodities. But I found out that 40% of the workforce of the Department of Agriculture is in the U.S. Forest Service. Mm. Kansas was not known as one of the tree bearing states in the country. And then the largest part of the budget of the Department of Agriculture was in our feeding programs, food stamps, school lunch, women, infant, children, and related things. So at a big jurisdiction, most cabinet departments also have that, and it means you have to know a lot about a lot of things that you didn't know about when you came in to office, which meant that you had to have a good, solid, high-performing staff helping you. Otherwise, you couldn't make it through.
And I would imagine that when it was time, Dan, for budgetary requests and things like that, you must have had a lot of people on your side from Kansas and certain states, but, you know, you're battling, you know, urban area lawmakers for money as well.
But that was one of the things that we had for years, was this urban-rural coalition, the coalition of farm interests and food interests, particularly hunger interests. They worked together over the years, and you had people like Senators Dole and McGovern and Humphrey and there were others that were able to bridge that gap. And one of the other things I learned in the book is that gap was there because they didn't burn bridges between themselves. They worked together. And that's a phenomenon that's much tougher these days.
Finally, let me ask you if you are, and I'm sure you have in the past, if you're talking to a large or small group, say, of graduating college students, and they ask you, why should I go into public service and maybe aspire to be a mayor, a town council man or woman, or even run for Congress, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them it's a great thing to be able to be in a job that impacts people positively. You know, for example, you mentioned mayor. There's probably no position that impacts people's lives more than a local mayor does in terms of everything that it touches people every single day. And so public service is a is a great thing. But also committing yourselves to charitable service is also a great thing. Not everybody has to run for politics. Some people just don't have the personality, and you need a pretty thick skin to be in politics and not let things bother you. But it's still an honorable profession.
The name of the book, Laughing at Myself, My Education in Congress, on the Farm and at the Movies. Dan Glickman has been the guest, former 9-term Democratic member of Congress from Kansas District 4, Agriculture Secretary. And Dan, final question. I know you have these motion picture connections. Who's playing you in the movie based off this book? Any idea?
Well, I'd want somebody really handsome, but I don't know who that would be. Somebody suggested Ben Stiller, but he may be old hat by now. So Jake Gyllenhaal, I'd need somebody who has hair, because I've lost mine. You
know? Well, I can join that club, too. Dan Glickman, thank you. Good luck with the book. It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. There you go. How about that? Guy with a sense of humor. I like that. Name of the book, Laughing at Myself, My Education in Congress, on the Farm and at the Movies, Dan Glickman.